Good morning, everybody. I am sorry. I am very croaky. I do apologise. If we were part of the blame culture, I'd say the blame lay with Ryanair. But I forgive them if it did. We don't blame. We're not in that, are we? But I've just had a croaky voice and a bad chest since that flight back from our holiday. So I do apologise. I am a female Barry White. Ooh. I think there are a few more differences between me and Barry White as well, mind. I don't think that's the only one, the croaky voice. Oh, thank you, Keith. I really appreciate that. That's great. So this morning, like Andy said, we're looking at the third leg, if you like, of our vision statement, what we believe as a church family and how we are operating in our world today. So the first one is knowing our God. And Andy talked about that, I think that was 3 weeks ago now. How we know our God and what we know about our God. Is our God actually knowable? Our minds can't take in everything about God. But we know enough about God to know that he loves us. He sent his son to die for us. We have eternal hope. We are forgiven. We are free. And that's enough for me. One day I will see my God. And then I can ask him anything I want, but I don't think I will actually, because I will probably be too awestruck. But that's enough for me, knowing that my God loves me, my God died for me, and I have an eternal hope of heaven with him. Sharing our lives, I actually missed Martin, I'm sorry, I have no idea what you said about sharing our lives. I did look on the website, but it wasn't actually there. Sharing our lives was number two. That's the second leg of our vision. That's the things that are important to us here as church family. And then we get to number three, which is serving our world. We know God. We can share life together. But if we haven't got an outward focus, we just become a cozy little club where we all just enjoy each other's company and what we know about God. We have to have an outward vision, don't we? An outward bias towards serving our world. So this is what we are today, serving our world. Can we have the next slide, Jean? Thanks. Anybody know who this gentleman is? Can you see him? Do you want the lights dimmed? No? Anybody know who he is? Pardon? No. That lovely gentleman up there is Emperor Naruhito, and he was enthroned as Emperor of Japan just a couple of weeks ago while we were on holiday. He's serving his world. On the same day, the next slide, I watched on the television, this gentleman, does anybody know who this gentleman is? Justin Trudeau, that's right. He narrowly won an election to serve a second term of office as Prime Minister of Canada. And in their minds, I'm sure they are serving their particular worlds. They are serving their worlds. Whether or not we think they're serving their worlds well is beside the point for today. But they're serving their particular worlds. And with regard to us and how we serve our world as King's Christian Centre, I've got 3 points that all begin with the letter M to help us think about serving our world. Model, motive and mission. I thought that was quite clever, actually. It has three M's. That's the mark of a real preacher, that is, if you've got alliteration and you've got 3 points. That's fab, isn't it? Anyway, to base what we're going to say on the Bible, because that is what we do here, that's one of our one of the things that we think is really important, the Word of God, we're going to centre our Bible reading this morning on Matthew chapter 20 and verses 20 to 28. So if you might have an appliance, but that's not the word I want, is it? What's the word I want? A device, that's the word I want, not an appliance. If you've got a device, you might want to read it on your device, or if you've even got a Bible, because I like a Bible myself. I'm going to read it from the Bible here in front of me. Matthew 20, starting at verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and, kneeling down, asked a favour of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Can we move to slide 16, thanks? We're going to look at motivation first. So what motivates people to serve their world? The emperor that we looked at, he was born to it. He didn't really have a choice. That was his lot in life. Justin Trudeau, on the other hand, he actively chose to be elected to serve the people of Canada. And we see so many people in our world today, or perhaps it's always been the same, but just I notice it more, who are seeking fame and power and recognition. We seem to have a celebrity culture, don't we? We can't argue with that. We have a celebrity culture that says, look at me, I'm someone. And I'm someone that you should look at because I'm me. I'm somebody. And this is quite a broad statement, but nonetheless, I think it's true. We see lots of self-service in people who are elected to serve. Politics, especially, has become riddled with people who want power, and they use power for their own ends. There's an old saying, isn't there, that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. The way of the world is that no one does anything for nothing, and it's considered demeaning to serve others. That's how the world thinks. But Jesus takes a very different view of service, as we've just read in that passage from the Bible. So going back to that passage, what do you make of the mother here? Commentaries say that she's Salome, who was a follower of Jesus, and she followed him right to the end. She was there when he was crucified. She was one of the two Marys looking on. She stuck with him. But she's a bit pushy, do you think? A pushy mother? Have you ever met a pushy mother? Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think she's got a pretty normal mother's desire for the best for her two sons. She wants the best for them. And I think those of us who are mothers can identify with that, can't we? You do want the best, no matter what, for your children. What a bold request she made. Could her sons have the best positions in Jesus' kingdom, second only to Jesus himself? One on Jesus' right, and one on his left. Every mother thinks that their sons are the best. When you read the same story in Mark's Gospel, though, we find it's James and John themselves who ask the question. The mother's not mentioned in Mark's Gospel. They wanted to be great in the kingdom, to sit in the highest place of honour, right next to Jesus, forever. Could you get any higher than that? They were looking at securing for themselves the things that the world esteems as important. Honour, power, ego, recognition, those things that make you look like someone. Position, you're right, Keith. So it doesn't really matter who asked Jesus the question, whether it was the mother or whether it was James and John, bypassing their mum. Jesus knew the hearts of those two men. And he replied directly to them. He said, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you go through what I'm about to go through?" And the answer from those two, who obviously hadn't understood anything that Jesus had said to them before about how he was going to die, they said, "Yeah, of course we can." There was no hesitation in their reply. "Yes, we can." Now, they could never have taken the place of Jesus at Calvary, could they? Only God's Son was perfect. Only the Son of God could die on that cross and take away our sin. They could never have taken his place. But they did, if you like, drink a cup of suffering themselves. In Acts chapter 12, we read that James was arrested by the newly appointed governor of Judea, who was Herod Agrippa, and he had his head chopped off. He was executed by beheading. And actually, of all the 12 disciples, only one of them had a peaceful death, and that was John, who died on the Isle of Patmos. But actually, he did not have a very peaceful life, because he'd been the victim of quite a number of murder attempts in his life. He died in exile on that island, didn't he? So when the other disciples clock on to what's happening, they get wind of this conversation, they get indignant. So Jesus gets them all together and he talks to them about the difference between greatness in the eyes of the world and greatness in his kingdom. Because the values in Jesus' kingdom are totally upside down to the values of the world. Greatness in Jesus' kingdom is totally radical. The values that count there are the things that the world wouldn't recognise as important at all. Humility, service, suffering, considering others better than yourself. Philippians 2 verse 3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, consider others better than yourselves." So what's our motive for serving our world as King's Christian Centre? As individuals. Because if it's to gain anything for ourselves, then it's wrong. And there's a pretty sobering couple of verses in 1 Corinthians 3, which talk about Jesus seeing what we do, and our motivation for doing it, and we will be judged. At the end of time, we will be judged on our service for him. We will receive our reward for serving him from Jesus himself. Not from anywhere else. From Jesus himself when he says, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." It will be, "You've served me and you've served my world well." Next one, Jean, thanks. So when it comes to serving our world, who's our role model? Of course, it's Jesus himself, absolutely. Jesus, who didn't come into our world to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many people. So there's lots of passages in the Bible that talk about Jesus as a suffering servant. We can go through Isaiah, there's 42, 49, 50, 53. Jesus became a servant in his ministry on earth. And Philippians 2 says, Jesus, who being in very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, by making himself nothing, taking the likeness, the very nature of a servant, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. There was nothing more that he could have done to serve us than come to earth in our likeness, in human likeness. And there's one particular instance in the Bible where Jesus physically serves his disciples. And that's when he washed their feet. That was a job it was customary for the lowest servant in the house to do. Filthy feet, caked with mud, kneeling in front of someone in an attitude of service. I'm going to watch a portrayal of that from the film The Life of Jesus. Thanks, Jean. I'm just going to... Oh, are you going to turn the lights off for me, Tom? Please, thanks.
It was now the day before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. He had always loved those in the world who were his own,
and he loved them to the very end. Jesus and his disciples were at supper. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, the thought of betraying Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him complete power. He knew that he had come from God and was going to God. So he rose from the table, took off his outer garment, and tied a towel round his waist. Then he poured some water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter.
Are you going to wash my feet, Lord?
You do not understand now what I am doing, but you will understand later.
Never at any time will you wash my feet.
If I do not wash your feet, you will no longer be my disciple.
Lord, do not wash only my feet, then. Wash my hands and head too.
Those who have taken a bath are completely clean and do not need to wash themselves, except for their feet. All of you are clean. All except one.
Jesus already knew who was going to betray him. That is why he said, "All of you except one are clean." After Jesus had washed their feet, he put his outer garment back on and returned to his place at the table.
Do you understand what I have just done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and it is right that you should do so because that is what I am. I, your Lord and teacher, have just washed your feet. You then should wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you, so that you will do just what I have done for you. I am telling you the truth. No slaves are greater than their master, and no messengers are greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know this truth, how happy you will be if you put it into practice.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you, Jean. Happy we'll be if we put it into practice. Jesus' example. We must do what he's done for us. We must serve our world, but out of love. Out of love for him and love for others, not out of duty. So what's our mission? Next slide, thanks, Jean. What has Jesus entrusted us to do for him that serves our world? And we are thinking today about how we as church family really serve our world. But I want to suggest we've all got three different opportunities for service to people. And the first one is our family and friends world. We've all got people around us, haven't we? We've all got family and friends that make up our individual worlds. People that we interact with, some are close to us, either physically or emotionally. And within that friendship or that family setting, we're called to serve each other, to be there for each other, to bear each other's burdens, and to enjoy life together. We're to be there for each other with that particular group of people. The second group of people we're called to serve are our church family. What happens in our church family world? Now, I missed hearing what Martin said about how we share our lives together. I'm sorry about that. And I hope I'm not going to say similar things to what Martin said. And you're going to say, I've heard that before. But we're called to serve each other in love and out of reverence for Jesus, who we love, aren't we? And the Bible uses the body analogy when it talks about church, where every member is important and every member has a part to play and needs to be fully used to make the body work well. There are a number of people here who have the largest servant hearts I've ever seen. Some people are fully committed to Jesus, fully committed to their family and friends, and fully committed to what happens here. And they serve us in ways that maybe we never see. But things happen. And if they weren't serving us, those things wouldn't happen. And then we probably would notice. But because they are faithfully playing their part, faithfully serving Jesus and us by their actions, things happen smoothly. Now, I've heard Andy say on a number of occasions, and I'm sure you have too, that we individually grow in our faith as we serve. Our faith grows, our commitment grows, and our relationships with each other grow. And we believe in teamwork here. It makes the dream work, doesn't it? When you serve with someone or with a group of people, you get to know them and you feel that you belong. What you do matters. And people miss you if you're missing. We're here to serve each other. We're to serve each other. And we serve each other not because we want to please people. That's totally the wrong motive. To please people, it's because we love Jesus and we want to please him. And we want to do what he says. And the Bible is very clear. We've all got gifts and talents that are given to us by the Holy Spirit. None of them are for our own personal gratification. None of them. They're to be used to build up the church and to glorify Jesus. What are your gifts today? And how are you using them to serve our church world? Thirdly, serving our wider world. And there are lots of ways that we as a church family here at King's do that. In our immediate community, there's lots that happens on a regular basis for people of all ages. And that work that we do has an impact on people's lives. So I'm going to run you through some of the things that we do, because I heard the other day that there are people who belong to our church family who don't actually appreciate all that happens. So I'm going to take a brief 5 minutes to run you through what happens here so that everybody knows what goes on. So the next one, Jean, thank you. You can't see that unless it's just my eyes. Can you see that? Just about, can you? Okay. At the top, Rock Toddlers. Every Monday at Parkfields and every Friday during term time, Rock Toddlers offers support to parents and carers and a safe and happy place for toddlers to play. The people that head that up have a real vision to promote family here in Mould. Flash happens weekly here, a lunch club for lonely and vulnerable adults who need a hot meal. Sometimes they get clothes to wear as well if they need it. They get a chat in a warm, comfortable environment. About 30 people every week enjoy this, and they wouldn't find that anywhere else. Rock Craft, a haven of warmth and shared experience, where ladies encourage each other to share arts and crafts skills. Usually they involve needles of some kind, knitting or sewing, not the other kind that we wouldn't need to talk about. Oh. And they find great satisfaction in creativity and making things together. And they've been doing the Alpha course recently and praying for fruit from that. Rock Youth on a Friday, a safe and secure place for people to be. If you're a young person who's got nothing else to do but hang out on the streets and maybe cause trouble. Interaction with the adults at Rock Youth who genuinely care about them and are a stable and positive influence on them is on offer. And young people are taking that up. They're enjoying it. Over 43,000 people have received food from the food bank since we started in May 2012. In December last year, 389 vouchers were brought to the food bank just in 1 month, which means that 1,181 people, local people in Flintshire, receive food. And all that food is donated by people and businesses. We support the Agathos Trust, in particular Wendy and her teams, who go into local primary and secondary schools, bringing a Christian presence and the teaching and love of Jesus to students. The Debt Advice Centre, which is part of the food bank, comes alongside people who find themselves trapped in debt and helps them with money management. Language for Living has built some great relationships with families moving into the area who need language skills to help them with day-to-day life in what is for them a foreign culture. Synergy, a support group that's passionate about creating safe havens for refugees as they make new lives away from the violence and the persecution in their native countries. And all these activities centre on building relationships and actively affirming and valuing people for who they are, seeing them as precious human beings, just like Jesus would. It's about showing our love for him by our love for them and finding opportunities to speak about our love for him. There's a famous quote, isn't there, from St. Francis of Assisi, "Preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, use words." Our lives should be doing the speaking as we are serving our world. And then further afield, our vision is worked out in many different ways too. Alex and Heather moved to Poiana in Romania to take on a church plant in a very poor village. We support them in their work and we send practical aid to the people too. We collect toiletries and make gift bags to give to anti-trafficking organisations when they rescue ladies and now men from unbelievably horrible lives as trafficked people. A number of people have sponsored children in many parts of the world through Adopt-A-Child and other organisations like that. And Peter Barton comes regularly to King's to give us an update on their work. Tear Fund supports a huge range of projects worldwide. We're not going to ask for any toilet twinning jokes, Trace, don't worry. But we have twinned our two new toilets, with toilets in Malawi and Tanzania, and sent our harvest money offering to Tear Fund to help with its work. And we're also supporting Teams for You in their mission to send as many Christmas shoeboxes of gifts to children in parts of the world where they wouldn't otherwise have the joy of receiving a gift. This is all part of our vision as King's Christian Centre. This is some of the things that we're doing. There are lots of ways in which we see this part of our vision, serving our world, being carried out, being worked out. But that doesn't mean that we should be complacent and smug about what we do. There's always lots more people to be reached. Not everybody can be involved in the practical serving through those things that I've mentioned there, can they? But there's a really invaluable way in which we can all be involved in different ministries or activities that King's is involved in. And that's by faithfully praying for what's happening. And I want to encourage everyone today, if you've got better eyes than me and you can see those lists, to take a look at those lists of people and pick an activity or a project that resonates with you and commit to praying for it regularly. Find out who the leaders are. Tell them that you want to serve alongside them as a prayer partner in their work. Ask for specifics to pray for. and then for updates on what's happening so that you can pray effectively. Because that will make a huge difference to the work that's happening. That faithful prayer. James 5 says, doesn't it, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Next one, Jean, thanks. This is us. This is King's Christian Centre. This is what we stand for. These are our vision statements. Knowing our God, sharing our lives, serving our world. We're all in this together. We're a body. We're a church family who are committed to God. We're committed to each other and to doing all we can to make a difference in this world because we know God. And it's because we know that's what he wants us to do. So I'm just going to leave a couple of minutes to think about where you fit in that service. What's your service for Jesus? Is it praying? That's fab if it is. In those three categories that I mentioned, in your friends and families in category one, in church family, category two, and the wider world, category three, where do you fit in? What are you doing for our God? We sang in one of our songs just before, I will bow down, hail you as king. I will serve you, give you everything. Easy words to sing, aren't they? Are they easy words to carry out? Are they easy actions to carry out?